Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Natalie Saves the World, one podcast at a time. Today, I am joined by James Nagley, author of Who Are You?, a book that helps you become the artist of your own life. James, welcome. Thank you so much for being here today. I'm so excited to have you. Why don't you start by sharing a little bit about your background? So just who you are and how you came to be where you are today.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am a husband and a father of four children. And yeah, lots
amazing.
Of kids. Yeah.
What ages?
18, 15, 7 and 2.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You do not look like you could have an 18-year-old.
Yeah, it's my stepson. It's a blended family. So the three oldest are stepchildren, and then the youngest is ours. So
wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Very busy. Yeah, yeah. So you know, my background and how I kind of came to write the book, you know, I feel like I was sold the life of, you know, go to college, get a high-paying job, you know, make money and start a family and all that good stuff. And throughout the process, I never really asked, like, is this really what I want? Is this the path that is going to make me the happiest? It just was what was laid out for me. And in the middle of it, I found myself to be very unhealthy mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And so I took a leap of faith. And even though I was making, you know, really good money as an engineer, I left that and I decided to figure out what I wanted to do and who I was. And it was like probably a year process of being, you know, pretty isolated to myself, which was very new for me. I was always surrounded by people. I'd never really been by myself for that long a period of time. And I did have social interaction here and there when I could find it. But for the most part, I was alone. And wow. I also went into about $50,000 worth of credit card debt to survive. But also I spent a lot of money and time and energy on personal development courses and really getting ideas and new insights. And I read books pretty much the entire time. And I ended up losing 90 pounds in that year. And
amazing.
just completely transformed my life. And throughout that process, I figured out a system that created happiness for me. And I felt I could create happiness for other people. And I wrote a book about it. And that's kind of how Who Are You really started. So
amazing. By the way, like, I'm in a similar boat right now. I was also always doing just the 9-to-5 regular jobs, always kind of had just followed a path, but not necessarily because I wanted to be on that path. It was just like what was expected of me. And I never questioned it, right? Like, we never take a moment to actually think, why am I doing this? Do I actually want to do this? Does it actually make me happy? And I think a lot of us just get caught up in the rat race of just doing what we're told or what, you know, is expected of us. So I'm in a similar boat right now. I'm also trying to build my own business, do like a totally different path than what I've been doing for most of my life. And I think sometimes, I mean, I wanted to ask you this as well, but did this come from like a moment of pain, like from something painful that happened to you? Or did it just kind of come naturally? Like, what inspired the pivot?
Yeah. I just had been, I think, going through a lot of changes, and I was at the point where it just got too much. Like, I knew I could have a better life. I didn't know how. I didn't know what that even looked like. But this idea that what I'm doing is not meaningful and I'm doing this for money. And I think that really hit something within me that I needed to explore. And so I took that leap of faith. And you know, I did feel like an imposter every day. You know, I was managing these big electrical subcontractors, and they're talking to me about junction boxes and manholes. And like, I had to pretend like I knew what they were talking about, even though it sounded Chinese to me. And I think that fear of like being found and caught on a daily basis. And, you know, they do tell you, you know, ask questions, but it's like, when you have to ask questions that are so basic, because you're not even speaking the same language, I feel like it took too much time to really figure all that out. And so I think a lot of it was just the fear of just not being good enough, or Plus, on the flip side of not just being good enough or found out, but also I didn't really care to become better at it. I didn't want to put in the work because I didn't enjoy it. And so I think it was just a mixture of all of that. Yeah.
So it wasn't like one major moment that hit you or something that inspired the change. It was just like a slow, gradual desire.
Yeah, slow, gradual burn that just kind of I had had enough with it. Okay. So
yeah, totally understand. For me, it was like just life circumstances changed. I went through a very hard breakup, and then I just started to question like who I am, similar to you, like who I am on my own. Why did all this happen? And I think that pain can be like a very big motivator. Whereas when we're happy and we're content and, you know, we're in our comfort zone, why would we change? Right? Like we get very set in our ways. Okay. Interesting. Wow. And so the title of your book, Who Are You? What inspired that title?
That's a great question. You know, through the middle of this process, this was not about who are you at all. That's not what the book was originally supposed to be about. I figured out in a night out, just like I went out with some, I was playing kickball at the time to get some social interaction. I went out with them, had some fun at a bar, and eventually just kind of broke free from them and was just sitting there watching all these people getting drunk and like having fun. And I just kind of was like, I wonder why, like, because I used to be a part of that big party life, especially in college. And that was my that was literally every three Thursday, Friday, Saturday every week for me during that time. And so I was looking at them and I was like, why did I continually do that? Why is everyone here continually doing that? You know, what did I do that's changed that made me not want to do this anymore? And I think, you know, I got one word from that experience, and it was approval. And I realized what I shifted inside me was I stopped searching for the approval of other people, and I started to search for the approval of myself. And that transformation, I was like, that's it. I have to write a book on this. And I woke up the next day and I decided I was going to write a book on it. And it just transformed. It was originally about approval, but then I realized that subject could only go so far, that only fit a chapter. And it just completely transformed into this idea of like, what makes us who we are? What does that even mean? Like when I ask, who are you? It's like you can try and answer it with your name or your job or your occupation or the things that you do on a daily basis, but that doesn't make you who you are. That doesn't even come close. And so I figured out a formula that worked, and I felt like that's what the book needed to be about.
Amazing. Well, do you want to get into the formula a little bit? Do we have time for that?
Of course. Yeah, I got all the time in the world for that. I love talking about it. Awesome. So what makes you who you are? What I figured out, what I truly believe is what makes every single person unique as an individual is the sum accumulation of everything you believe about yourself and the entire world. So all of your beliefs, your belief system, that is what makes you who you are. And what ends up happening is no one ever stops and questions your belief system. And what I realize is that every belief that you have is actually a choice. So for example, most people have three insecurities. I guarantee most, probably 98% of the population in the world, 99% has one of these three, if not all three. And those three, the first one being, I'm not attractive. Mm. The second one being, I'm not intelligent. And the third one being, I'm not enough. Yeah, and so
that's a big one. They're not enough.
Yeah. And whether they know it, whether they're conscious or aware of it, most people have one of those three, if not all of them. And they drive our behavior in a very negative way if we're not able to recognize that they're beliefs. They're unconscious things that we've been told and have been trained to compare ourselves to other people. And you have the choice to believe that you're attractive. You have the choice to believe that you're intelligent. You have the choice to believe that you are enough. And learning how to rewrite those beliefs and learning and unlearning some of the beliefs that you have, now you have the ability to create who you are. You have the ability to pick up that pen and rewrite that narrative that other people have given you, that other people have sold you and you have bought in because you were so young, you didn't even realize you had a choice in what they were telling you. Right. You are now at a point where you're probably old enough and capable enough to rewrite these things and completely transform who you are. Because the thing is, your beliefs dictate everything you see in your life. So if you don't find yourself attractive, you could literally be the sexiest person alive, but you're only going to see that one tiny pimple on the side of your, you're going to see that one flaw, and it's going to drive you. If you don't think you're intelligent, you could literally be just an absolute genius at something. And I do believe everyone is a genius at something, but because we're trained to think that you have to be good at math and science in order to be intelligent, we end up assuming that we're not. And so, you're a genius at something. I do believe that. And if you don't believe that, you're never going to find out what that is. You're not even going to look, you know, because you don't believe it's there. Right. And so the last one being enough, like everyone, we're trained that you have to achieve something in order to be enough. If I just do this, I'm going to be enough. And that's an unconscious, not aware of it drive, but understanding that you are enough just as you are and accepting that, and then using that to create confidence, to create capability within yourself. Now you have the ability to go after what you really want in life, because you're coming from a place of love and confidence and strength, and not coming from a place of, I need to do this in order to fill this hole that I'm not enough kind of thing. So yeah, that's kind of where the formula comes from. And that's kind of a solid ground on how to start rewriting some of those ideas and beliefs about yourself.
Amazing. Interesting. Amazing and interesting. First of all, it sounds like a lot of it has to do with our beliefs about ourselves. Would you say that also part of it is kind of finding our unique, like what makes us unique, like what sets us apart from others? For example, like your unique skills or unique passions, like really reflecting and doing kind of inner work to identify that?
Yes, I think yes and no. I think the no part would be, a lot of people, I think, try and find a way to be unique just to be unique. It's not out of self-love or confidence. There's an ego sense to that where it's like, I'm special because of this. It can be construed that way. But I think where you're coming from is like, you're an individual and you have the ability to find something unique within yourself from a positive aspect. And that's like definitely we all have much
unique gifts. I was going to say
absolutely.
I think we all have like unique abilities or things that we can contribute to the world. Like you said, you know, you might not be smart in terms of the math or the science, but you're really amazing at connecting with people. You're really amazing at, I don't know, painting or what have you, different talents.
Fixing cars. You're just like, you can look at a car and you can and build it and rebuild it. And the world may not see that as genius, but at the same time, like, everything that is based on whether you're a genius or not, whether you're special or not, is based on how much money you can make from it. And I don't know how much mechanics make, but I don't think they make as much as, you know, scientists or, you know, other
football players,
you know? And so we're trained that intelligence comes from the amount of money you can make from a certain thing sometimes. And I just, you know, I think we can rewrite that narrative to create something different.
So true. Yeah, I agree. I mean, ideally, you can find the intersection between what you enjoy, what's going to help the world, and hopefully be able to make some kind of living off of it. But to find that is challenging, because I think, as we've said, you know, a lot of us just fall into place, do what's expected of us without ever really questioning it. And I think, like you said, you had this time where you were really introspective and looking inward. And a lot of us don't take the time to do that. We just keep going in the rat race without really questioning it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes, you know, the reality of life is you have to pay bills. And if you have a family, you have a family to provide and to protect for. And you're not getting out of that. And so what I'm saying is challenging, but understand that you may have to do what you don't like to do to make money for the time being. Just create a plan that's not your life plan. It's not like, well, someday I'm going to be out of it. You need to create that plan for yourself while you find what it is that you love to do. Because the truth is, you can make money literally doing anything you want. You just have to figure it out how. My wife is an acting coach. She coaches these 8-year-olds who make $20,000 a video that they post on YouTube doing pranks with their mom. Like, wow, they found the formula for that, whether that took years of hard work and just posting, whatever it is, but they found that formula. If they can do it, I guarantee you we can do it. We just have to put in the work. And if that's something that we enjoy doing, and whatever it is you enjoy doing, you just have to figure out a way to monetize it. And first step, you have to understand and recognize that it is possible, and you have to have the belief in yourself to find that for yourself. So,
yeah, so true. So was there like a defining moment or experience that led you to write the book, or was it just kind of how you said the slow, gradual shift into being more introspective?
Yeah, I think that night I was talking about that word, approval came, and I was like, I got to write a book on this. And I just kept getting so many insights and information as I was thinking about what I wanted the book to be about. It did transform into kind of this foundation for who you are, but not just who you are, like how to rewrite who you are to create happiness in your life and self-love and confidence. And I broke happiness down into kind of three areas of your life to transform, to rewrite. The more you can increase your love for those areas, the happier your life is going to be. So
amazing. Love it. Well, one of the big ideas in your book is freedom through identity. So knowing who you uniquely are, as we've mentioned, what does that look like in real life? Like, how does that shift the way we show up at work or in relationships, this approach?
Yeah, I think what you're talking about is authenticity. And that is that's a word that's thrown out a lot. You got to be authentic. And it's all about being
authentic. Now.
It's this big
social media word.
And I have a whole chapter of that in my book. It's called The Skill of Authenticity. Mm-hmm. It's not just about being authentic, because what does that really mean? It's a skill set. And what it really means is being 100% honest all the time with everyone.
Right.
It's being truthful. It's not trying to protect yourself. It's not trying to say things in a way that takes blame off of you, or tries to get you not to be fired, or it's literally being truthful and so truthful and so trusting of the truth that no matter what happens, it's supposed to happen that way. So if you're truthful and you get fired from your job because you're telling the truth, it's supposed to happen that way. And that's what's going to guide you to find a better job that's more in alignment with who you are. If you're in a relationship and if you're afraid of saying the wrong thing to lose that person, but you tell the truth anyway, and that relationship ends, that's only setting you up for a better relationship that is more in alignment with who you are. You cannot be in alignment with who you are by trying to change the narrative of your truth and the truth you want others people to believe about you in order to keep the life that you want, because, or the life that you have, because I probably, if I asked you in a very vulnerable and honest setting, for most people listening, is the life that you have right now the life that you want? And most people would probably answer no to that question. And that's okay, because to have the life that you want, no one has really taught us how to even do that. And for me, the skill of authenticity, having so much faith and trust in the truth that whatever's supposed to happen is going to happen when you show up with your authentic self by being truthful no matter what, and having that as your North Star, that for me has created so much love and joy in my life. And what I realized from that is, because I'm so committed to the truth, it's the word I'm looking for, to just being honest, what I recognize is that people believe me because they know I'm not going to lie to them. Right. If something happens where something at work or something happens in my relationship or something on the outside makes it seem like I'm not doing something I'm not supposed to be doing, whatever the case may be, because I have never lied and I have never been caught in a lie, because I haven't, people are more willing to accept and believe what I have to say. And that freedom is so powerful, to not have to continually try and spin a web in people's minds, is just so freeing. And it allows so many doors to open when you stay committed to the truth. So
incredible. Yeah, I think we should all aspire to live that way. And I think a lot of us are not. I really liked what you said about the people at the bars just going out all the time. I actually like the term I throw around a lot is lost souls. I think that there's just like a lot of lost souls on this earth who never question these things, and they're not really living their true purpose, and they're just kind of going through the motions. And I think it's a combination of a lot of things. There's definitely been like a loss of faith overall in a lot of the Western world, and people don't really have something to believe in or something they're passionate about. So they're just kind of like stuffing their face with consumerist things. And yeah, I think if you can live that way where everything is just like your true self and you're being authentic, whatever's meant to be for you will be. Like, it's all going to happen as it should.
Yeah. And it's something that is so much easier to say than it is to do. And the reason for that is fear.
Yeah.
Faith and fear do not mix. They are complete opposites. So for you to have faith in the truth, it means you need to accept that the fear of the truth is going to be there, but you can't act on it. Right. That's what vulnerability is. It's being afraid of being exposed for who you really are, whatever the case may be, and just accepting what comes from that.
Yeah.
And you know, we are inundated with information that is created to create fear. So it's very easy to lose that faith. So it takes courage. And for me, courage is a skill. It's not something you're born with. It's not something that you go out on the battlefield to create and like, I'm going to just like, you know, finally jump into this thing. Like, courage is something as simple as like you're sitting on a park bench waiting for the bus and someone's on their phone and you get this thought to start a conversation with them, but you're so terrified of that because they may just reject you and be like, no, I want to, hi, and then get back on your phone.
Yeah.
And I'm speaking from experience because I know.
Yeah.
And that fear is real. And it feels so, this is the comfort zone, right? That we're talking about. And to take that leap of faith and just do it anyway, even if you get rejected, so what? Because at the end of the day, you faced a fear. And the more you face your fears, the bigger your comfort zone expands and allows you to do everything. You know, the other thing I didn't mention is I'm an actor as well.
Right. Should have said that in your intro.
Yeah, I didn't say that, but I'm an actor. But the thing was when I was working as an engineer, I was so afraid to even leave my apartment for like being judged in some negative way. My comfort zone was work and it was home, and that was it. I literally felt so uncomfortable even grocery shopping, just being stared at and just feeling so much anxiety from that. And eventually I just had to take one tiny courageous step outside of that. And eventually now I'm an actor and I'm getting in front of people and I'm pretending to be someone else and bringing my authentic self to the role and like having so much freedom because I'm living in my truth. And even that's kind of a buzzword, living in my truth. But what that really means is like, I'm just me. I'm here. I'm shown up and you're not going to get some fake phony version of me in order to impress you. You either like me or you don't. And that's okay. That's your choice. But in order to do that, you have to create the courage to have the confidence to be able to do that. And that takes, I think, the skill of courage to be able to do that. So.
Totally. I agree with everything you just said. And I feel similarly because I'm also really real, if you will. Like, I don't, I tell the truth, like, in a way that makes people uncomfortable sometimes. Like, I have a hard time being fake. Like, it's just not my personality. And a lot of people are very intimidated by that, or they feel uncomfortable with it because they themselves are not living in their truth. And I totally agree with everything you just said. And also, you brought up something like just this concept of uncertainty. When it comes to fear, like for me as well, like all this period of change that I'm now going through, and I'm sure you went through as well, the hardest part for me has been the uncertainty. Like, I think we want certainty in our lives. We want to know what's going to happen tomorrow. We want to know if I do this, then, you know, this will be the outcome. And the scariest thing is the uncertainty, like just not knowing, because nobody's certain of anything, right? Like, we don't know what's going to happen. But like you said, taking that leap of faith and being uncomfortable in the uncertainty is like where we grow the most. Like, you're going to exponentially grow when you just start saying, okay, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to try. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, without question. And I would say that if you're young, if you're in your 20s, if you don't have responsibility of a family, Yeah. Do that now, because it's so much easier to have fear and to have anxiety and be uncertain. Like, even though it does not feel easy, even though it feels extreme and excruciating while you're going through it, do it in your 20s, because as soon as you have a family that you need to have responsibility for, it becomes unbearable. I mean, literally having uncertainty for your own family and your kids, that they're looking for you to have food, to have a roof over your head, to have like that stress and that anxiety, like, is so outside of what you will ever experience from a fear point of view, because it's not just you. You can take care of you. You can figure, you know, for me, like, I could literally, I remember when I was going through this and I was strapped for cash. All I had was literally coins that I had picked up from around the house. And this was my grocery money. And I went and I was so just happy because I was free and I didn't have to deal with a boss or anything. And I was grateful to even find these coins. And it was so just, it was great. And it was, and I was living happily, even though I was stressed for money. I could never do that now, because it's not just my mouth I have to feed. I have 4 kids and a wife who also, I can't ask them to fast. I could fast if I wanted to, but I can't ask them to do that. And so do it now. If you're in your 20s, like, experience fear now and figure out your faith and your trust, and that will propel you to be able to do it with a family, and it'll propel you to be able to create a life that you want while you don't have the responsibility of other people. That's what I highly recommend, especially if you don't have kids or responsibility right now. So,
yeah, very true. I agree. I mean, obviously when you have kids, it changes everything in terms of responsibilities. But I think, like everything we've said, it's just like a skill that you can practice, the uncertainty, getting more and more comfortable with it. And like you said, that's how that comfort zone will expand. And I don't know, I feel like I'm in this point right now, like, it's just me. I don't have kids. And yeah, it's been very hard. Like, the beginning of it was so much harder than it is now. And now I'm like, okay, what's next? Like, what else can life possibly throw at me? Because I'm not scared anymore. And I'm, you know, I know that I'll figure it out. Even like, the hardships are there to make us stronger. And it's through that uncertainty that we grow and expand. But it's scary. Yeah, it's not always easy, but definitely much easier without children and real responsibilities, for sure. Okay, so you call us artists of our own lives in the book. And I really love that. And I was just wondering if you could break that down and explain a little bit more how you treat your life as an art form.
Yeah, so I think the way you paint your life is through your belief system, kind of what we talked about earlier a little bit. But like, getting really fine-tuned with what you believe, and seeking out information, ideas from people you don't know, people you've never heard of, people you disagree with, and just getting inside their minds. And just because you disagree with them, you can't necessarily just throw it out the window, because at the end of the day, everyone thinks they're right. So who's right? Is it you? Is it the other person? For you in your life, it could be right, but for them in their life and how they grew up and their experiences and their beliefs, it's right for them. But if you can get into their eyes and you can see, okay, I could see where you see it this way, and you can start to take little ideas from that and reshape. So the more reshape your beliefs and what you think about the world, and the more you can create positive, loving beliefs about yourself and the world, the happier life is going to be. And so you do that through spirituality, you do that through psychology, you do that through learning from people who have been from where you're at and are where you want to be. And most of that information is free. Yeah. YouTube, listening to people like Wayne Dyer, podcasts, books are so cheap, like $10 or less. Some of the best information I've ever gotten out of books that were $6, you know, like, there's so many, there are people who are extremely wealthy, extremely happy, extremely full of love and generosity and kindness, and they want to share how they got there with the world. And you just have to listen and take what they believe. And your beliefs dictate your entire life. If I could really pinpoint on that, everything you believe is dictating what you see in light. There's this thing called the reticular activating system, right? It's a filter system. Your brain in this moment in this room has taking on 11.1 million bits of information per second, and it's filtering most of that out, like the colors on certain things. And you're not really you have your attention focused on one thing, and your belief system will filter out all the things that if you don't believe in them, you're not going to see them. So I know that sounds a little weird, but we go back to the example of, like, if you don't believe deep down within your subconscious, within your soul, that you're attractive, you're never going to see the things that actually make you beautiful and attractive. And people will give you compliments, and then you're just going to be like, you're going to shut them down because they don't align with what you believe. They make you uncomfortable. At the end of the day, like, that's what they see in you. So if they have the ability to see that in you, you also have the ability to see that in you as well. And you can transform just through those ideas, something better for yourself. So rewriting in your life, rewriting and creating your life is really the process of creating. What do you want to believe about the world? And something as simple as like your political beliefs. I'm not going to get into any of that in detail because it triggers a lot of people. But we're giving two set of beliefs, two sides that you have to be on, and that's it. And you're either one or the other, and everything else doesn't make sense. But picking and choosing what you believe because it aligns with your beliefs and your values, you have the ability to do that. So like something as simple as that is like really getting deep down. Is this something that I believe because it aligns with myself? Or is this something that I believe because it's been told to me over and over and over again, and I never thought about whether it makes sense or not? So
yeah, so true. Although I do think that a lot of people are kind of in the middle when it comes to politics, and there's just no, like you said, it's so black and white and it's so like rigid. But it's a shame because there should be more room for that. And I think a lot of people, they almost like they won't even speak to someone who has different beliefs than them. And and like you said, that's how what you should do is put yourself in situations where you can learn from people who think differently from you, which helps shape who you are. So yeah, I don't know. I just think it's a shame.
Yeah.
Nobody ever, like, I have friends, for example, who are on one side politically and they won't talk to anyone who thinks differently from them. And I think it's a shame.
But it's also, you look at their parents are probably the same way. That's who taught them that. They probably have a belief system that is so ingrained to them that they haven't questioned, that they haven't even asked, how did I get here? Yeah. They just accepted it. And they refuse to look at anything else or differently. And it's preventing them from growing and from really being happy. You know, there's, I thought about this, and it's sometimes you have a choice. You can either be happy or you can be right. You can't always be both. And I just realized that, you know, being right gives us a dopamine release. It's the same as, you know, scrolling on Instagram, checking email, and finding something amazing pop up in your email. Like, it gives us this feeling of control and certainty, right?
Yeah.
You can have that, or you can have a better, happier, more loving feeling. And sometimes you have to make the choice of which one you would rather have.
So true. Yeah. Totally agree. Well, Who Are You in the book seems to really live at the intersection of purpose and creativity. So how do you help people uncover that, especially if they feel stuck or disconnected?
Yeah, I think a couple of ways. There's two ways. I think there's an art and there's a science of who you are. The art is what we talked about already. And so what beliefs are keeping you stuck? Like, what is it that you believe about you that's preventing you from feeling like you can make changes in your life? Because most people feel trapped and stuck because of this idea that they can't make changes. They don't have the confidence in themselves to manipulate the outside world in a way that is helpful and beneficial for them in a positive way. You know, manipulation can be positive or negative. And in this way, I'm saying it's positive. It just means changing. That's the art. There's a science of who you are that I talk about really extensively in the book. And it's how you process information and how you make decisions. And sometimes you can feel stuck because society wants you to process and make decisions in a certain way, but you do it in a way that's different, that is actually going to make you happier, and it's going to help you figure out what that is. And what I'm talking about is, if you've ever heard of Myers-Briggs,
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Myers-Briggs is very surfaced. So it's basically you answer a couple questions and it spits out qualities and things about you and all that good stuff. But what I'm talking about is what Myers-Briggs drew from, which was from Carl Jung. It's psychological functions. And that deep understanding of how you process information and make decisions and getting an alignment with that and balancing that, because sometimes people can become one-sided in one function or another, that prevents them from moving forward in their lives. And if they just balance, like one, I'll give you an example. One is sensing, one is an intuition, there's thinking and there's feeling. So if you're a heavy thinker, balancing that with feeling could do wonders for your life. And feeling is not about emotions. Feeling is about values. So, you know, if you have, if you're a feeler from that point of view, what you really are, someone who makes decisions based on values, based on your belief system, and your feelings and your emotions come from whether your beliefs and your values are being violated or if they're not. And so sometimes if you're feeling stuck, using some, if you're a feeler, using logic and using something logical and training yourself to think a little bit more could be very beneficial. If you're someone who's a thinker and very logical and something practical, sometimes instilling values in you can create some magic and some things in your life. If you're someone who is very sensible and everything is about practicality and reality, throwing in some intuition and some imagination to balance some of that can be super helpful. And if the flip side, if you're someone who's very imaginative, someone who's very intuitive and lives in this realm of possibilities, sometimes adding some sensibility on how to actually make that a reality for yourself is beneficial. So there's an art and there's a science of who you are, and understanding that from a just deep psychological and way to transform that into who you want to be is could do wonders for someone. So,
wow, so interesting. I didn't know any of that. Yeah, I think some of us, I don't know. Yeah, I'm just thinking of some personal examples, like people I know who maybe put their values before their own needs even, or like their, and then others who put, you know, their emotions and the quick fix above the values and the greater good. It's interesting. Finding a balance.
It's definitely a balance because, so, you know, for example, like someone who makes decisions based on values, the way that they think logically can only be inside of those values. So they can't think about what someone else with different values could see. All their logic is to create their value system and make that what's right. Yeah. And so being able to balance that in a way is not easy, but it helps you get outside. Because sometimes people can take up causes and values that are not actually good causes and values. And so they can be easily manipulated into think they are. Just because this rings true from a value perspective doesn't mean that it actually is. And like, honestly, I see this a lot where some people who think logically can make the most terrible, absolutely horrible values make logical sense because they're so good at making things make sense logically that they could make the worst possible thing for a human being, whatever the case may be, sound, wow, that actually makes sense. Yeah. And then you can have someone who has the best value system possible try to explain it to other people and it makes absolutely no sense. Even though it's a beautiful thing to believe, it doesn't match reality unless you're able to think in a way and explain it in a way that actually is powerful. So balancing those is, for me, has been super helpful and super important.
Wow, so interesting. Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask, so many of us feel like we need to save the world through big missions or do something that can really help humanity. And based on your work, what would you say, like, how do we start doing that by just starting at home with clarity on who we are?
Yeah, there's only one person in the entire world that you have the ability to actually change, and that's you. Because if you try and change anyone else and they do that out of obligation and not out of their own choice, they're going to end up resenting you because we end up resenting anything that's forced onto us. So the idea of changing the world by forcing people into submission is radically false. And so the only thing that you can really do is become so powerful and so loving that you're such a force that can't be denied to be able to do the things that you want to do and the things that you want to create, and having so much compassion and empathy for people who disagree with you that you can actually speak their language and speak things that you believe to be true that would help them in a way that they can actually understand. That's so important. I think part of what happens in society is we want change and we want these value systems, and we just can't understand why anyone else would believe something different than us when it's so clear, like right or wrong is so clear to us. And for them to say the exact opposite of what we know, you have to be able to speak to them in their own language, because otherwise it's going to be Chinese and all they're going to hear is, I need to be defensive and I need to attack your belief. And it's just a back and forth. But if you can speak to them in a way that they can actually understand, now you can create more positive change and impact. So if you want to change the world, you have to change you. It's the only way that it is the most rewarding and yet most challenging thing you can do, but you can do it. And it's the only way that you're ever going to get true fulfillment is by first changing you, and then using what you're able to change about you to help other people that are willing to accept your help. Because people who are not willing to accept your help don't want it.
Yeah.
And they're never going to change. So it's a waste of time, really.
Yeah. No, I agree. But you can inspire them, right? Like through, for example, with your book or through this podcast or through all these tools. Ultimately, that's what we want to do, right? Like we can't force anyone to change, but we can share our stories in an effort to hopefully inspire them.
Exactly. And what you give people is hope and belief in themselves by doing that.
Yeah,
I think that's what a lot of people need, is an example of like, okay, I've struggled exactly where you've struggled and I got out of it. That means you can too. So don't fall victim to this narrative that I'm going to be like this forever. You're only going to be like this forever if you don't change and you continue to make the same choices that you're making on a daily basis. And if you just learn to make better and different choices with better and different ideas, you're going to have a better and different life.
So true. Yeah, I completely agree. And that's what I'm trying to do now through this podcast, because I've been in a very tough spot recently. The last year was very similar to everything you went through. And I want to help people, but exactly, you can't like shove things down people's throats. You can really just share, here's what happened to me and I got through it, or I'm getting through it. And I want to help others as well to do the same.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Well, I'm going to do like a quick rapid fire, just like answer the first thing that comes to mind when I ask you the next few questions. So what's one tiny daily practice that helps you stay connected to your creative self?
Journal every day, 6 values that I want to remain within me. First one is, I love everyone always. I choose to be happy over being right. I give people the freedom to be themselves. I do things in a certain way and always be growing. And then I can choose how I want to respond to outer circumstances. So I write those every day. And then I write all the things that I'm grateful for, things that I want, things that I have, qualities that I have, qualities that I want. I write that I'm grateful for all of them. And then I read a chapter of The Power of Your Subconscious Mind right after that. And that just reminds me that my mind and my thoughts help to create my reality. So I should probably check those and make sure they're what I want. And then I meditate for 10 minutes of just complete breathing and focusing on the breath. And then what that helps me do is notice my thoughts and my awareness throughout the day. And if I'm on a track where I don't want to be, because I've been able to say stop during that meditation, I'm able to say stop, and out in the real world, they just go away and I can focus on what I actually want to think about. So
amazing. Yeah, our thoughts are really powerful. And exactly as you said, like our thoughts create our reality. I actually have right here next to me my 5-minute gratitude journal that I try to do every morning, because it really can, just focusing on the positive and staying positive every day makes a huge impact. Amazing. Well, what's one question we can ask ourselves at the end of the day to check in on who we are?
Where today do I feel like I was inauthentic?
Very nice. Okay. And in one sentence, what is Who Are You for the person who's seriously ready to commit to change? How would you describe the book in one sentence?
Yeah. Who are you is the accumulation of everything that you believe about yourself in the world. And if you don't like who you are, you start by rewriting those beliefs.
Amazing. Yeah, so true. It has to come from within, ultimately. And what's, if you had just like one piece of advice for the listener to take away from listening to this podcast, what would that be? Your main piece of advice?
My main piece of advice is figure out your biggest insecurity, whatever that is, whether that's something physical, whether that's something mental or emotional, maybe it's a financial insecurity, whatever that insecurity is, and rewrite the beliefs, whatever that belief is telling you, whether that's your ears and you don't like your ears, rewrite that about yourself. Like, because at the end of the day, the only reason why you think that is because you have the ability to compare that to other people. And yeah. So remove that comparison and just love that. Learn to say, I love you no matter what to yourself about whatever it is. And if you just continually did that with that, whatever insecurity is, and you start to transform that into self-love, self-appreciation, self-acceptance, and having radical self-forgiveness for all of it, the happier your life is going to be just with that little step.
Yeah, so true. Totally agree. Awesome. Well, James, this has been amazing. For all the folks listening, where can they grab your book and follow your work and dive a little deeper? Like, where can they connect with you?
Yeah. So the book, you can go to www.identity-mastery.com/who are you, with that being one word. And you can get the book there. And, you know, if you want to follow me on Instagram or TikTok or YouTube at happiness.school, spelled like my hat here, S-K-O-O-L. You can find me there.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time. This has been incredible. I loved our conversation and I completely agree with you on everything you've said. We didn't save the world today, but we had a really interesting conversation about purpose, who we are, finding our true selves, and all this inner work. And I hope you enjoyed. If you have gone through a difficult time and you've done a lot of introspection, feel free to share your story in the comments. I would love to hear it. Thank you all so much for listening to Natalie Saves the World, one podcast at a time, and have a wonderful day.